For centuries upon centuries, it's been the custom in the Catholic Church on the Feast of the Epiphany to announce the dates of all the other big feast days for the year, starting with Easter and all the other movable feasts. This started, of course, before the proliferation of calendars or before Siri and Alexa and just being able to look up when these dates were. People would come to Mass on Epiphany and write down all the dates throughout the year that they had to come to church and worship our Lord and celebrate their faith. And though it's not necessary that we do it anymore, I still think it's helpful for us to just, as we begin a new year, put on the perspective of following the faith and following the mysteries that these feast days represent. So at the start of the homily here, I'll announce the dates for the coming year. You don't have to write them down. They'll be in the bulletin next week. Dear brothers and sisters, that as we have received at the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the 26th day of February, we will fall Ash Wednesday and the beginning of the fast of the most sacred Lenten season. On the 12th day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 24th of May will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 31st day of May, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 14th day of June, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. And on the 29th day of November, the first Sunday of the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I have a confession that I'm a Kentucky basketball fan. Having grown up in the Ohio River Valley, and it's in my blood. All of my family members growing up are Kentucky fans. That's not the confession, though. The confession was last week on Saturday evening, Kentucky was playing our rival, Louisville, and it was a big game. Louisville was number 3, and Kentucky had some losses and were number 19. And right before the start of the 5 o'clock Mass, the game goes into overtime. So you could say I was distracted during Mass, even the priest, thinking about the outcome of the game, what's going on. So in the sacristy after Mass, I turn on my phone to see what happened. And of course, Kentucky won, which was a great news to receive. But then as I was getting out of my vestments and walking out to my car, I had dinner arrangements, I was still on my phone. I was looking at the stats and what was going on, what had happened in the game. And because my attention was at my phone, I found myself both feet in a puddle up to my ankles. Because my attention was somewhere it shouldn't have been, I was left there cold, wet, and alone. And I think this is not an uncommon experience. More and more in our world, things vie for our attention, whether it's our phones or the 24-hour news cycle or sports or celebrities. So many things are vying for us, for my focus, for my attention. And this great solemnity that we celebrate of the Epiphany is helpful for us. The Epiphany is the manifestation of Christ to all peoples, to the Gentiles, to the Jews, to the whole world. But even if you have good vision, you might miss it if you're not looking, if you're not searching, if your attention is on yourself or on your phone or somewhere where it shouldn't be, you might miss the Epiphany of our Lord. You might miss his glory that's being revealed to you. And I know some secular outlets are using the new year 2020 for their advantage, you know, that 2020 is perfect vision, right? And I want to follow up on this as well, that we want to have that vision of 2020 that can see and receive the glory of our Lord. You see, if my focus is on myself, or my focus is on my phone, or the sports, or the media, or the celebrities, I'll always be found cold and alone, like I was in that puddle. But if my focus is following the Lord's revelation, the Lord's will for me, then I'll find myself in a place of warmth and communion. These are the two ways, brothers and sisters. We either find ourselves in isolation, or we find ourselves in communion. And we always want to strive for that communion that Jesus wills for us. That's having 2020 vision as we come into this new year with our faith. And the Magi help us see this. The Magi are really helpful in teaching us, even as outsiders, those who were not privileged to have all the revelation as the Jews. The Magi, the wise men, they were Gentiles from the East. But they can teach us by their searching. They were searching for the King of the Jews. This is what they tell King Herod. They ask, "Where is the newborn king? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." They follow that star through desert and danger, I'm sure avoiding vandals and even going to crazy King Herod. They entered into this dangerous search so that they might worship and enter into deeper communion with God. We can learn from that. We can learn from their example. And then when they get to Bethlehem, it's likely that they even had to go door to door searching for the king, because the star was high in the air. It came to rest over Bethlehem, but it's not like it came right down over the stable. It stayed in the sky. So they had to keep searching, keep knocking on doors, asking where this king might be found. They were fervent in their searching. They kept their gaze on the prize. This is helpful for us. And of course, when they find the newborn child, they bring their gifts. We all know it. They have gold. They have frankincense. But wait, there's myrrh. Huh? Just making sure you're still awake. They bring these gifts to the Lord. And these gifts are helpful for us to examine. Gold is a gift for a king. Frankincense is a gift for a god, and myrrh is a gift for someone who's about to die. These three gifts that they bring to the baby Jesus are gifts of worship, gifts of honor and homage. They prostrate themselves before this newborn king, and they invite us to take on that same focus and gaze on our Lord Jesus. But the Feast of the Epiphany isn't just about the Magi. I think there's another important meditation for us and worthy of our attention. You see, I think we have to look at who God manifests himself to. God coming to us in the flesh through Jesus comes to certain groups. And this is helpful for us to examine. First, the baby Jesus comes to the family. He comes to a mother and a father. He comes as an infant. So God manifests himself first to this nuclear family. He's pro-life. He's pro-family. He's pro-woman and pro-man. This is helpful for us to realize that God manifests himself in this unit of love. And this is the first place that he makes himself known. Secondly, he manifests himself to the poor. Of course, in Mary and Joseph, they're a poor family. There was no room for them in the inn, so they had to go to the stable with all of the animals. But then shortly after, our Lord is manifested to the shepherds, more poor, because God is pro-poor. He comes to manifest himself to the lowest among us, those who have no means, so that they may be known and loved by our Lord. And then the third group that the Lord manifests himself to are foreigners. He manifests himself today to the Magi, to visitors from the East. They're migrants. They're those who were searching for hope, searching for this newborn king. They're migrant travelers. And so we see that God is pro-migrant. He's pro the lowest among us who have no place to rest their head, who are searching for a greater home. Now, of course, a lot of these groups have been politicized. the migrant, the poor, the life issues. But these ultimately aren't political issues. They're human issues. And so our Lord wants us to examine them and to receive all people as he has received them. And St. John Paul, I think, is helpful for us in his theology. He talks about the dignity of every human person and that the response to every person, no matter who it is or where they're from, the only response to a human person is love. We can never use another person for our own benefit. We can only love the person who's in front of us. And our Lord's manifestation shows us how to do this, that we would love the lowest, love the family, love the poor, love the migrant, and receive them as God receives them. I know it's not as simple as this in the political sphere, but on a human level, and as our prophetic nature as a church, well, we ought to always uphold the dignity of every human life and keep preserving them in the love that God intends. This is what it means to have that 2020 vision, to search out our God, to leave behind the phone, leave behind the things that are vying for us, to search out God and to welcome the brothers and sisters that God has put in our lives, that we would see God, that we would see the person in front of us and receive the love that God has for them and for us. So brothers and sisters, as we enter this new year and meditate on these mysteries of the Epiphany, let's follow those stars that Christ has put in our lives this year, that they would lead us to a greater place of communion and love.